before heading out to spring break. This afternoon has been very encouraging, and a lot of the things that we've talked about already this afternoon are actually leading into what I want to talk about this afternoon. There's a quote, it seems to be anonymous, and I did some research and I could not find who this quote came from. It appears to be anonymous, from an atheist. And it says, "If I firmly believe, as millions say they do, that the knowledge and practice of Christianity in this life influences destiny in another world, Christianity would be to me everything. I would cast aside earthly cares as follies and earthly thoughts and feelings as vanity. Christianity would be my first waking thought and my last image before sleep sank me into unconsciousness. I would labor in its cause alone. Earthly consequences should never stay my hands or seal my lips. I would esteem one soul gained for heaven worth a lifetime of effort. I would go forth to the world and preach Christ in season and out of season, and my text would be, 'For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?'" And the reason I wanted to read that quote to you this afternoon, that came from an atheist. That came from someone who does not believe in God, does not believe in Christianity as the most important thing. But he says, "If I did, this is how I would act." And he says, "If I believed as most Christians do." So I want to ask you the question this afternoon, is Christianity the most important thing to you? Is it the thing that when you wake up, it is the first thing you think about? When you go to bed, it's the last thing that you think about? Do we spend our time in God's Word, understanding what it says, understanding what He would have us to do, understanding what He wants for us? And if Christianity, and this is the point I want to drive home this afternoon, if Christianity is the most important thing to us, then why are we hesitating to spread it to other people? Luke chapter 5, if you'll turn there with me. Luke chapter 5 is where we're going to spend the majority of our time today. Verses 1 through 11 of Luke 5. "On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' And Simon answered, 'Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets.' And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men.' And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him." So here Peter and the others already know who Jesus is. They do believe in Jesus. And the thing is, they were not 100% committed to him yet. They were still working their day jobs and providing for their family, earning money for themselves through their job as fishermen. And this was a hard job. And then by verse 11, after this miracle, after Jesus commands them to come and become fishers of men, they left everything and followed Jesus. And what stands out to me in this story is that there are a lot of obstacles in the way of their faith. There's a lot of things that would cause them to be cautious, to be wary about leaving everything that they have and following Jesus, to preach the gospel to others, to bring them to Jesus. They had the memory of recent failure. Even after trying their best, they still had not caught anything. They had been out all night long looking and striving for these fish so that they can earn a living for themselves and for their families. They had not caught anything. And when Jesus tells them to go back out, what's playing in their mind. And what does Peter say? We toiled all night and took nothing. And yet he says, but at your word, I will let down the nets. He says, it doesn't matter. You've told me to do this, and I will do it. They were physically exhausted. They had gone without sleep all night. He says that they had toiled all night long. And this is not an easy job. You know, we think of modern day fishing. We have our little fishing rods that we cast out there, and then we just sit there for a few hours and wait. They went out into the deep waters in these boats that had no motors. They had to go out there themselves. They had to fight against the wind, fight against the current. They had to get out there, and they were out there all night long, and they hadn't caught anything. And so emotionally and physically exhausting. There was the unlikelihood of success. If they hadn't caught anything during the night, because this was the ideal time for fishermen to go out into the sea and to catch these fish, they would go out at nighttime. If they hadn't caught anything then why would they catch anything during the day? And there's that doubt. Why are you having us go back out into the deep during the middle of the day to catch these fish? And of course, the difficulty of the demand after toiling all night, being exhausted, knowing the memory of the recent failure, the unlikelihood of success, they had to force themselves to go out there. And they did. He says, but at your word, I will let down the nets. And because of this, they triumphed. And what I want to point out is that when we do the same thing, when we look at the commandments that Jesus has given us, he has commanded us to go and be fishers of men. And when we go out into the deep, after striving all day, after even working with one person for 2 years and nothing happens, nothing comes of it, and we try again, we triumph. Even though we have already tried and failed, we get up and continue what he would have us to do. Even though we've talked to so many different people and there's just no response, nobody is willing to come and listen. Or we work with one person for a long time and they finally give up. It's the memory of that recent failure. It makes us feel like it's not worth trying anymore. Why would I go out and continue when I already had the opportunity here and I had the opportunity here and so on? And nothing is coming of it. Why would I go out and continue to do this? The ideal time for success has passed, and yet we continue to try again because God provides more and better opportunities. Jesus provided Peter and the others another opportunity to bring in fish. And because of their faith, because of what they did in obeying him, without question, he provided for them. And even though we are extremely tired, we deal with sin, we deal with pain and strife in our life, sadness and grief. Even though we deal with that, the reward is far better than anything we can imagine. And those are the results of our obedience. If you look at verse 6, there are blessings beyond what we are able to imagine. Verse 6 says, and when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. And that was a result of their obedience. If you look at Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, and verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. According to what we do, he can provide more than we can possibly imagine. When we obey him, when we put our faith and trust and hope in him, he will provide more opportunities to do his will. Verse 8, a result of obedience is humility and reverence for the power and the holiness of God. If you look at verse 8, but when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He was humbled. When he saw what Jesus did for him, when he saw that because he put his faith in the only one who is worthy of having faith being put into him, he was humbled. And he had reverence for the Lord. He recognized his own sin. And that comes from continuing to obey Jesus' commands. And of course, there's a subsequent call to even greater responsibilities and sacrifices. The simple thing is Jesus told them, go out into the deep. That was a simple command compared to what he was about to tell them. Compared to the sacrifice they were going to be called to make. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. And so the point I want to get at this afternoon, as we've introduced this topic and we've gone through this passage very briefly, we're called to be fishers of men. And there are going to be obstacles in our faith. There are going to be things that tear us down. There are going to be worries and doubts that get us down. But when we have faith in him, when we put our trust in him and leave everything to him, we will triumph. So the question is, how do we be fishers of men? We ask the Lord to provide opportunities and direction. We pray to him. We ask him, Lord, please put somebody in my life that I can teach them and show them the gospel. Because if that's the most important thing to us, as we read about just a few moments ago, if that is the thing that drives us to continue throughout our day, then how dare we not bring that to other people? How dare we keep that for ourselves? Because Jesus has given it to all people, and it is our job. As Jesus directed the disciples, it is our job to bring that to them. And so we pray to the Lord, our Father, Lord, show me where to go. Show me what to do. And we have trust. We put our faith in him that he will direct us, that he will provide opportunities as he provided the disciples opportunity. We persevere. Verse 5, back in Luke chapter 5. Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and we took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. He was tired and he persevered. And that is what we are to do. As we go throughout our day, when we deal with struggles, when we deal with things that get us down, when we deal with the fact that we have continued to talk to people and they just do not respond, they show no interest, or they mock us, we persevere. Because failure and difficulty, weariness, those things can cause us to give up. But we are called to persevere. And he has given us a commandment. And who are we to go against the commandment of the one who saved us? The one who died on the cross for us. And this is interesting. If you look in verses 6 through 7, we can see that they had partners. When they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that it began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. And verse 9 says, For all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. There were partners. There were people who were there to help them. The Lord has given us a church. He's given us a group of people who are Christians, who share in like faith, who all put their trust in the Lord, who all have a desire to worship him. And we are to use our people. We're to use each other to help us. When we go out and we decide, I'm going to go proclaim the word of God today, bring somebody with you. We have people who are willing to go and preach the gospel. We have people who are striving to bring other people to the Lord. So use them. It's why God has given us the church. And then we praise the Father. We see the Lord's providence in catching men, and it should make us fall down at his feet in awe. There are success stories. Now, I don't know each and every person here, but one of you might be a success story. One of you might have had somebody who is a Christian come to them and say, this is the word of God, this is what he did for you, and this is what he tells you to do, and ultimately, this is what he will give you in the end. And you might be a success story. And you praise God for that. You praise God for those who you have brought to him. Because it's not us, really. We are the messengers. We are the ones who plant the seed. We are the ones that go out and distribute the word. It is up to them in order if they are going to come to God and realize that their life is not right. And then the last thing I want to focus on is we prioritize, and that's where we'll spend the rest of our time. And I want you, genuinely, to take a moment and ask yourself, have you prioritized spreading the word of God? I can safely say that I have not. And I know that that might seem like something you just get up here and say. But when you truly meditate on that, when you truly focus on that, it is humbling. And it makes you worry. Am I being right with God? Am I doing what He has commanded? The first commandment that He gives the disciples here is to become fishers of men. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through, 25 through 34. Luke 14, 25 through 34. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and it is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When we prioritize, we look at our life, we evaluate ourselves, we evaluate who we are. We look at our strengths and at our weaknesses and we say, "Lord, this is my weakness. I need help." You count the cost. You ask yourself, am I willing to put all of these things aside? And am I willing to follow you? Am I willing to devote my life to spreading the word of God, to obeying the commandments that you have given me? So some applications for us this afternoon. Whatever we do for a living, as a Christian, our main goal is to glorify God by reaching out to others with the gospel, whether that's by our words, by example, by our attitudes. That is our goal, no matter what we do. And I want to use an example. Back home, where I attend when I'm not here at college, I recognize that there's this gentleman who works as an electrician. And there's thousands of electricians around the world. And yet he prioritizes spreading of the word of God. He sets up every single year thousands and thousands of dollars in order to go to Jamaica and take a lot of people from the congregation where we attend. And he goes to Jamaica for 2 weeks and preaches there every single day. He sets up a VBS for the kids. He sets up Bible studies for the men and for the women. And he teaches the Word of God day and night sometimes. I was lucky enough to go 1 year. And it was unbelievable the amount of grief and sadness and devastation that the people over there were dealing with. And to see the joy and the happiness on their faces when they came to that worship service, when they came to hear people that they did not know to preach the Word of God, and the response that we got. People coming forward, crying, and saying, "I am not living right." Saying, "I have not served God," and the way that they have turned their life around. And the fact is, we are still in contact with a lot of people from over there. And they're continuing to do what's right. They're continuing to strive. They have even set up their own congregations. And that is the power that 2 weeks has. When a group of 15 people goes over to another country and spreads the word of God and says, "This is what the Lord has done for you. This is what he will continue to do." It's an amazing thing, and it opens your eyes to how much sadness and sin is in the world, and how many people do not know God, and how lucky we are to be a part of a family that wants to serve God, that praises him every single week, that reaches out to each other and encourages each other. How lucky we are, and the fact is that people don't have that. And it is our job to spread it to them. And this focus, this prioritization of these things requires us to view people as Jesus viewed people. And the first thing that came to my mind when I was thinking about how Jesus viewed people is people are worthy of being saved. They're worthy of him dying for us. And that's what he did. He died on the cross for us. And he asks us that we spread his example, that we show people who he is and help them to realize what he has done and what it means for them. Because the people that we come in contact with throughout our daily lives, whether we're at college or whether we're at our jobs or whether we're at a fast food restaurant, they are our mission. Those are the ones who we need to reach out to. And I know it's not practical in every single circumstance to talk to every single person wherever you are. You physically can't do that. But the point is, are we making an effort to look for people who we can talk to look to people who are willing to have a study, who have never heard what it truly means to be a Christian? It's all about our mindset. Whether we're striving for God and looking for people who need help, or if we're keeping it to ourselves and saying, "Oh, I'm not the person to talk to them. I'm not the person to bring these things up." That's why we have each other. If you're not the person to do that, if you don't feel comfortable doing that, that's why we have each other. Because it is of utmost importance. God wants everybody to come to him, to be saved. And at the end of our days, we will not be measured by how much money we have made, by how many things that we have on this earth, how many cars we have. It doesn't matter. The end of our life, when we go to judgment day and we're standing before God, he will judge us based off of our actions and whether or not we have followed him and talked to others about him. Because if we love Jesus, if we love God, wouldn't we want to spread that to other people? We're entrusted to further his kingdom, as we were talking about today in class. His kingdom is started. We're the ones who spread it. We're the ones who bring people to him. Whether directly through our teaching or indirectly through our example, our giving, our good works, our service, there will be people in heaven because we did not live for ourselves, but for Jesus Christ and his mission to seek and to save. And I know we already read it, but I would like to read to you one more time, and this is called the Infidel's Challenge. I don't know if I mentioned that. If I firmly believed, as millions say they do, that the knowledge and practice of Christianity in this life influences destiny in another world, Christianity would be to me everything. I would cast aside earthly cares as follies and earthly thoughts and feelings as vanity. Christianity would be my first waking thought and my last image before sleep sank me into unconsciousness. I would labor in its cause alone. Earthly consequences should never stay my hands or seal my lips. I would esteem one soul gained for heaven worth a lifetime of effort. I would go forth to the world and preach Christ in season and out of season, and my text would be, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And that is the attitude that we're to have. And it's sad sometimes. I myself have not had that attitude. We all struggle with things. We all deal with problems in our life. But this has been such an encouraging study for me because it's helped me realize if I love God, if I want to do what He has told me to do, if I have the hope of being in heaven, then why shouldn't other people? Because you might be the person that is able to bring them to God. It might be you. It might be me. And how dare we miss out on that opportunity? We're about to partake of the Lord's Supper, something that has been commanded for us to do on the first day of the week. And I know, at least for myself, when I partake of the Lord's Supper, I focus on, am I right with God? Number one. Number two, I focus on the things that He does for me because it helps me to realize why I want to continue serving Him. We look and see that Jesus died on the cross. We look and see that He has given us a chance for forgiveness from our sins. And the most amazing thing is that we can have fellowship with God, our Creator, the one who loves us more than we could possibly love anything. The one who sent His Son. The one that provides for us day and night, despite the fact that we have sinned against Him day after day after day, and He still loves us. And that is why we're to bring people to Christ. Because He loves them as well. And He wants to have a relationship with Him. So I encourage you, as we go throughout this week, go throughout our everyday life, that we think on these things. We wake up and we ask ourselves, am I serving Christ? Am I going to go and look for opportunities today wherever I am? As I go throughout my life, am I going to look for opportunities to spread His word? Or am I going to be stagnant and live in my own little world? So I encourage you, let's think on these things as we partake.